I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, and no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Will you sing with me? I'm coming back to the heart of words. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Different way to start our service this morning, but very appropriate in the fact that even though my back is to a lot of you, the focus this morning is going to be on Jesus Christ. So whatever we do in song, whatever we do in word, we're going to be worshipers this morning and not spectators. We want God to be the spectator, not a church to be the spectators. So as the worship team comes, we're here to worship, and we're here to lead you into worship, and we're all to be spectators of the awesomeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we know and understand the immensity and the depth of love that God has for us, we would not be able not to worship. My heart is to worship this morning. Not just to be on stage. My heart is to worship God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So many times we don't prepare ourselves for worship. Even though we come to church, we're not ready to worship. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And we're just going to sing a part of that song together, The Heart of Worship. I'm going to ask you to stand together as we worship the God on high, and say to him that I'm coming here today to worship you. Will you stand with us?
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
You search much deeper within.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
So God, we come to you this morning to worship you and to worship you alone. And all God's people said, amen. Have a seat.
We just want to welcome you again this morning. And I found that was a very calming way to start our service. And I'm sure many of you weren't calm this morning as you shoveled that centimeter of snow that was supposed to fall yesterday. But it's great to be in the Church of God with you today. Today we have a special soup and bun luncheon following the service, and I got a sneak peek of the gymnasium downstairs, and it looks wonderful. I got to smell the soups. We have a sweet potato curry and a chicken vegetable soup available for you, and this is for anyone who would like to stay, no strings attached, just a purely social time together. They have pies listed for me to tell you too. So, pumpkin, blueberry, oh, that's okay. Cherry, and strawberry rhubarb, Now you really want to stay. Ladies, it feels like we're at the retreat again. In your bulletin, you notice a green sheet, and I don't think I need to read it. You can all read it for yourselves, but there is a lot of things happening this month, including Valentine's Day. That's a little reminder for all the men out there as well, including my husband.
I'm a man, yeah.
At this time, we're going to ask if all the children would like to come forward, and we have a little special story for you.
And I guess we're going to need some help from the adults, too, depending on how many kids we have here. So take a seat. Perfect. Yeah, come on up. All right. What is this?
Crown.
A crown. Okay, easy enough. Who wears a crown?
A king.
Usually. King or?
A god.
A god?
Queen.
God does. A queen can as well, okay? A lord, sure. Now, who would like to be my king or queen? Okay, sir, come on up. You get to wear my lucky cape. The crown. Hold it up there. And your scepter. He is the snow god. All right. There we go. So this morning we're going to be talking about something called worship up here when you're going downstairs to talk about your things downstairs. But it's going to be worship. So when I say the word worship, what do you think I mean? What do you think I mean when I say the word worship?
God.
Worship God. Good. Now, what would we do if we were to worship our snow god? What could we do? He gives you the snow. He's the snow god. Maybe a shovel you could give him. But what would you do? If he was on his throne, what would you do? You bring him gifts? Could you, if he had a big old ring on, what would you do?
Worship him.
How would you worship him? You could kiss the ring. You could kiss the feet. Yeah, that's the way they used to show real worship to kings back in Bible times. Now, I know some of us have never really seen a king. But we do have our favorite hockey players, some of us. We do have our favorite hockey teams, off and on, some of us as well. Go Leafs, go. Or music bands, or even teachers. Now, what are your favorite things? What are your favorite things in terms of people? Mom and Dad, I heard that one. That was good. Tanner, good job. Okay, now these are all people that we look up to and that we admire. But there's one that's even greater when it comes to admiring. Absolutely, good job. Now, do you know what he is called? There are kings. There's lords, but who's higher than a king? Absolutely. Now, he's also called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Exactly. Now, how do we treat God, or how do we treat our snow gods? How do we treat them? We pray to them. Sure. We learn about them, right? Get to know them better. Sure. But what happens when you say you hurt one another or you disobey your parents? How are we treating each other? Not very nice, right? Not very nicely at all. Now, what we're actually doing is we're treating God the same way, because God wants us to treat each other with love and respect. So a form of our worship to God is by treating our parents, our teachers, our siblings with respect and love. Now, we talked about kissing, you know, the king's feet. Yeah, that's a little gross, right? And we won't be going into that because, you know, that's something that adults do and it's disgusting, absolutely. but, you know, the term kissing, it is an amazing form of worship that God has given to us. Now, remember that God is king and that we are his servants. And you need to leave. My king is falling apart. Hold it up. Okay, I'll hold it. Now, what I'm asking you to do, though, to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is to love your family. Does that sound like a deal?
Yeah.
You can love your families?
Yeah.
Yes, good. How about doing what is right? Give the king back his crown. Thank you. Coming to church, like you're doing right now, and by reading your Bible. Okay? All those things are very simple things that you can do to worship God.
Go ahead.
He does.
I know the kids love to sing, and here's a song, How Great Is Our God. I think you all know it. I've seen you sing it when we've sung it in the congregation. So why don't we sing together, How Great Is Our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. One more time together, okay? How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And we want you to know, children, that God is great, and he thinks you're great, too. So we're going to dismiss you to go down to your classrooms, and the junior high are actually going to stay up with us today for the worship service. I think it's great every once in a while just to recognize the children that are with us, and we can demonstrate a little bit of who God is through a little sermon, story time. It's also great to get them to go downstairs, too. Yep, now that I have my own child, I understand what it is. When you used to babysit children, it's easy, right? You could babysit and send them home, but now they're yours 24/7. So we are going to sing that song together, How Great Is Our God. And the reason why is because the overarching premise that we're going to talk about today is that our God is great and greatly to be praised. And the reason we worship, like I said before, is because our God is great. But before we sing the song, I want you to express to everybody, the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ, why this morning, on February, whatever day it is, you decided to come to church and tell people why God is great. Why is God great this morning? Does anybody want to share? Why is God great?
She said she looked out the window and it was just so bright and just so spectacular. And I just think that if God can do that, which is going to be gone, you know, in, well, some of you would like that to be a twinkling of an eye.
Heavens declare the glories of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, when we wake up, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display his knowledge. I think that's what the word is. Anybody else? Why or how is God great? Amazing that he would desire to redeem a fallen people to himself.
My mom was in for heart surgery last weekend, and I know that valve replacement and bypasses are rather commonplace nowadays. But, you know, for me, I'm grateful that that is available. But her surgery got canceled a couple of times, and the second time it got canceled was because her doctor was on call the night before, and he'd been in surgery. They came finally at 10 a.m. in the morning, and he'd been in surgery from 7 p.m. that night. He was still in surgery at 10, and he was still in surgery at 1 the next afternoon. Two surgeons working on one man, and we talked to him, and all of us, we were upset that her surgery was canceled, but we understood. We talked about this poor person who was in surgery. She later met him. He got out of the hospital in a week. He had 18 bypasses. Wow. Like, God is miraculous that he has the ability that God is awesome. Can you imagine this man? And he walked right in the hospital with 18 valves not working in his heart.
Amazing story. And just the fact that God created us, our beings, our bodies, and allows them to grow from something, one cell, and creates and forms all these functions that function together. And then when it breaks down, it actually heals itself. Like God, the Creator, is creative and awesome, as Deb said. Why don't we stand and sing this song together? I know you all know it, so I want you to hear you sing it. How great is our God?
The splendor of a king, and clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? And sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, and Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, our God, and all will see how great is our God.
He's the name above all names.
Name above all names. Great is our God. And name above all names, you are worthy, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, my heart will sing, how great. Our God, and sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, sing how great. How great is our God.
You can have a seat. Now, I know for a lot of us, worship means one thing. And for the person sitting beside you, worship means something totally different. We're going to go through four points this morning that I've kind of brought out of Scripture that talks about worship. Now, when I say worship, I don't mean just Sunday morning, sing songs, and go home, worship. When God talks about worship, he's not talking about Sunday morning, come to church, go home, worship. So we're going to walk through Scripture this morning. We're going to talk about four things. I've also asked three different people to share what worship means to them so we can have an idea and gain a glimpse of God's heart for worship. Now, the first thing we want to talk about this morning is the purpose and object of our worship. Because for me, when I'm sitting where you are and somebody's leading in worship, it's very easy for me to be critical. To say, you know what, it's very difficult for me to worship in that style of music. Or I don't really agree with what they're doing on stage. I don't believe drama should be a part of worship. There's a lot of things that I think of what worship should be, when the true heart of it is that we've replaced the purpose and object of worship with ourselves, rather than the purpose and object of our worship being God. Do you agree with me? How often we do that in our churches today? A simple example is that we have a stage. And yet, the stage just kind of connotates that there are people up on stage performing. But there are legitimate reasons. You know, people can see you and be led easier with you on stage. But so many things that we have organized in church on Sunday mornings are a huge danger to take us away from the purpose and object of our worship, which is God. But when it comes right down to it, the church can only do as best they can to lead, to form what worship service should look like. When it comes right down to it, it's the heart that walks through the doors in the morning, on Sunday morning. They choose and decide how, what they will worship. There's a song. I was sitting down this week trying to figure out what this song was, and it kind of goes like this. And Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. But is it really? And Jesus, sometimes I want you to know that sometimes I'll follow you some of my days. I think there's no one else in history like you. And history itself belongs to you. You're the Alpha and Omega, whatever that means. You have loved me. And hopefully I'll share eternity with you. But who's kidding? It's all about me, Jesus, and all this is for me, for my glory and my fame. It's not about you. As if I should do things your way. You are sometimes Lord, and I'll surrender if you'd only get me out of this situation. You are sometimes Lord, and I'll surrender if you'd only be faithful and provide me with a job, then I'll surrender. You are sometimes Lord, and I'll surrender. If you'd only heal my wife of cancer, if you'd raise my child from the dead, if you'd only do something radical in my life so I know that you're real, then I'll surrender to your ways. Does that ring true a little bit? Rather, the song goes like this. And when we focus on God and all that He is and all that He's done, then we can truly sing the song. It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I'll surrender to your ways. We have replaced the purpose and object of our worship with ourselves. Throughout the week, I was thinking about this whole concept of worship, and something came to my mind that there's really three things a part of worship. There's the message of worship. There's the one who delivers it, and the one who receives it. And oftentimes in church, the pastor or the worship leader can make things go the way that they want in order for there to be a sense of worship in the church. Sometimes we can manipulate or do things, or the preacher can take scripture and kind of work it the way he wants to make people feel good. But that's not right. The church isn't about making people feel good. The church is about delivering a message. And then there's the third part of it, is the one who receives it. And often it's the receiver that can take things and leave things. We'll take the good things that make me feel good. I'll take away that. But the things that are difficult for me to face and understand, for me to actually go home and read scripture and pray, I'll take and leave things, because I can decide how I want to worship. But that's not right. The worship is coming to the grip and the reality of who God is and what he requires of us. North America has produced probably the most entertained-oriented people in the world. We have everything. And if you think about it, we do. I just have a little list of everythings. We have internet, which starts with I. We have iPods and iPads, iPhones, iMacs, iCarly, for those that watch kids' programs, iBooks, iHop, iTunes, IKEA, for those that are like my wife. And yet we still want more. And you know what the scary thing is when I Googled things? Is that God actually came up. And I investigated that, and it was actually an online website that's an artificial way to communicate to God. Now, isn't that crazy? I'm all for writing journals and expressing our prayers and stuff through written letters. I think that's a great thing to do, because you can go back and see where God has brought you. But when we turn God and put him into a box and start thinking of him how we should be thinking, it makes us feel good. Man, I don't know how we can worship. But when we come to the grip and the reality of who God is and what he has done for us, that's when worship begins to unfold. That's when a church begins to do remarkable things that they could not do on their own. Because when we have these things, we become self-reliant people, doing self-reliant things, and even possibly self-reliant worship. So this morning, our next few things are we're going to walk through and discover true worship is understanding who and responding to who God is. I've asked three people to come and actually share about what they discover worship is, and Chris McDonald's going to come at this time. come and share. I've asked these three people two questions. One was, how do I worship God? And that was kind of a loaded question. And the second one, yeah, and the second one was, what does it do for me in my Christian walk to have the opportunity and the privilege to worship God? So, Chris, why don't you share with us?
Thanks, Wayne. Wayne did call this week and asked me to ponder two things, and one was how I worship, which seemed a little bit awkward to me, but I sat down and was thinking about how I worship, and first things, you know, come to mind is praise and worship time, no doubt about it. Whether it's here with a congregation or in my car, one of my favorite things is driving alone, which I rarely get to do with four kids, and using that time for praise and worship. Then started thinking more practically in terms of, you know, what is it that I do that brings glory to the name of God? Because surely that's worship. And the typical things came to mind. You know, what am I doing with my resources? What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my gifts? And am I turning those things back to Him? Because they're due Him. They all came from Him. And I was going through that and realizing this is kind of a really cerebral exercise for me. And got to thinking, you know, who is the true recipient of my worship? And that's God. So I'm hoping that whatever it is that I'm doing to glorify His name actually yield worship before Him, that He actually considers that worship. So I thought I'd best ask Him, what is it that I do that brings worship before You? And what He brought to me was loving, when you love people. And that sounded good to me. So it's probably a given for a lot of you people, and I understood it on some levels, but it also seemed a little bit awkward to me. And then I got led in my reading in John 17, where Christ is praying before He was arrested. And I'm hoping I can read this here. This is Christ, and he's praying to the Lord, and He says, "I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work that You gave Me to do." So there's Christ confessing that the work that God has called Him to do is what has brought glory to His Father. And then He finishes the chapter with this, and I love this. It says, "I have made You known to them, and I will continue to make You known to them in order that the love You have for Me may be in them." And that I recognize was His completed work. And that's what brought glory to the Father, is that He came to make God known to us through His life so that the love that's in Christ through the Father would also be in us by the indwelling life of Christ. I wrote down here, "His love is conceived in us, and apart from His love, all these other offerings of praise and gifts and faith and talents and sacrifice mean nothing." And we learn that in Corinthians, that without love, all those things that we offer are really kind of hollow. And so for me, I realized there's lots of ways that I worship. There's lots of ways that we worship. But I also realized that I worship when I love as Christ loved. And that's a tall order. You know, it was humbling listening to Wayne this morning, because that's the reality of our lives a lot of time. We sing these songs, but wholeheartedly, 100%, we're not there. And it's very sobering and it's very humbling, but for the life of Christ within, but for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we wouldn't have a chance at singing those songs with any sincerity, but we do because of His life in us, and that through Him all things are possible, and that I do worship God when I love others because He loved us first. So that was the one question on how you worship. And this is just my personal thing, so I'm not speaking for anybody else. The other one was, why is worship important? I could probably talk about that for an hour. But I wrote a couple things down. I kind of keep a journal at home. These are some things that I pulled from there. For me, worship is where I go so that God can impose His all-sufficient and eternal perspective over top of my temporal life. Worship is where my condition fades in light of who He is. Worship is where I get to dwell in the presence of the Almighty God and focus on who He is and forget about my stuff and my temporal problems in this life, because it is but a vapor. And I've come to cherish that. Worship for me is not a result of what I know, but it's the natural result of who I know. I can't not worship as a result of knowing God more and more and more. It's a privilege, and it's just a natural, it's a natural outcome the more that you actually know him, not about him, but the more that you actually know him. Past 4 or 5 years for our family have been really tough years. Tough for my kids, tough for my husband and I. And there's been a lot of dark days. But I see now those dark days and those dark times are a gift because they drove me to the Lord. When everything in myself couldn't work and I couldn't affect change on people or decisions or outcomes or conditions and I had nothing else but him, and he had to be sufficient for me. And when he shows up and he shows you that he is sufficient and that he does have it all in the palm of his hands and that he alone will write the final chapter, and you can take hold of who he is, and it's a privilege to worship. It's a gift to worship. Worship is important to me, not as a response to pleasant circumstances, but as the approach to circumstances. And that, by the grace of God, I hope will be the attitude of my heart for him, is that worship will be my attitude towards the circumstances, not just as a result of favorable circumstances in my life. A number of years ago, my dad had passed away, and I asked my mom if we could sing that song by, I think it's Matt Redman, who says, "Blessed Be Your Name." And I love that song because it's blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me and the world's all that it should be, and it's great, and we bless the Lord, and we praise his name, and that's all great, and it's easy to worship in all those areas of our life. But blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering when there's pain in the offering. And the line that I love the most there for me is that my heart will choose to say, "Blessed be your name." And I think for me, especially for the last 4 years, the gift of going through what we've gone through and what it's revealed of the character and the person of God in my life, it's a blessing to worship, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Chris, thanks for sharing. I think that resonates a lot with a lot of us, what you have said, and it's great to hear some personal stories of worship. And it all comes back to what Chris said. You know, it's all about understanding and knowing God. And I think a lot of times if we struggle here on Sunday morning to get into worship, it's not so much what's going on around us, it's what's going on inside of us. But some of us are scared to go there. Whether we just think it's an emotional or intellectual exercise, the truth of the matter is that God wants your heart. He doesn't want just your service. He wants you to surrender all. So some of you still aren't maybe in the mode of worship yet, but hopefully we can get you there by the end of the service. And there's a few more songs we're going to sing. We're going to sing God of Wonders because I know a lot of you have requested it and love this song. It's all about God of creation. It says, "Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory," and when you say this, you're really lifting up the name of Jesus. "Glory to the Lord on high." All right? Now, you can stand or you can sit. You can kind of do whatever you feel you need to do. All right? Because if one person stands, that's fine. You don't have to stand if other people stand. It's all about where you're at in worship. So let's sing God of Wonders.
Your majesty, you are holy.
heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
Holy and holy.